Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is David Klaus, Deputy Undersecretary for Management and Performance within the U.S. Department of Energy. So, David, recognizing your office is fairly recently created, given government's term, I'd like to get a sense of your key strategic priorities going forward. Would you elaborate on them? How are you shaping the organization? And more importantly, how are you seeking to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the department's operations?
Well, let me go back to something that I said at the beginning, which is that the department operates with 13,500 federal employees and 104,000 contractor employees. We have 17 national laboratories. We have production facilities in Kansas City and Amarillo for part of the nuclear weapons complex. One of the challenges that we have is to operate all of that as a single enterprise. What we have done historically is to operate this very much in what people would call silos. And those silos of, you know, an example, we have not, you know, just for the federal government alone, we have 19 different cell phone contracts with four carriers. Simple examples, we provide human capital services. Actually, this happens to be through 17 to 18 different sites for our federal employees at a cost that, frankly, exceeds that of the government average and the private sector. One of the goals that we have, as I said, to operate as an enterprise, and we've got two or three initiatives that are underway. One is in the human capital area. We are working on what we call the 120-day study in the strategic human capital program. And what we're trying to do is take those 19 service centers and bring them down to four. And with that, sort of begin the process of being much more efficient in the provision of human capital services across to the feds. We're doing the same thing in terms of our information technology. We also, again, we kind of like it, a 120-day study on our IT structure. And the 120 days gives us a real deadline and a time frame. And we actually met that deadline in both of the human capital and IT studies. And we're now at the point where we have recommendations and we're moving forward to consolidate those, figure out what are the best of those 19 cell phone contracts, for example, and get everybody having an opportunity to use those. The other thing that we've done, and Secretary Moniz has said that he wants to, and I quote him, he wants to reset our relationship with the national laboratories. And part of that is to work with them. And he's created two mechanisms to do that. One is the National Laboratory Policy Council, which is a council of the laboratory directors and the heads of programs and the undersecretaries. And Secretary Moniz chairs that and probably spends about a day a quarter chairing that meeting, which is a significant commitment of his time and energies, and deals with the issues on that on a regular basis. The other structural thing he's done is he's created something called the National Laboratory Operations Board, and that's another sort of cross-cutting board that has membership on the federal side from every one of the programs that has a national laboratory. And then it has representatives of the chief operating officers from the laboratories and the chief research officers from the national laboratories. And that's a board that I actually chair. And we meet monthly. Four of those meetings are in person and we spend a day. Oftentimes, we'll stretch it to a day and a half so that when we do it at a national laboratory, we'll be able to all collectively go see the facilities and learn something on site. And the rest of the time, we do it by video conference. But, you know, we are working very much on the infrastructure issues associated with the national laboratory system. We're working on alternative financing mechanisms. We're working on human capital issues. We've got a whole range of different sort of, if you will, frankly, day-to-day nuts and bolts issues where we think we can better integrate both at the federal level within itself and where it involves the laboratories, that we can reset the relationship with the national labs and we can operate as one enterprise. And that really is sort of a core objective of what we're trying to achieve in the management side.
David, I was wondering, mission support, effective mission support is critical to the success of mission delivery. And I was wondering, what are some of the key operational challenges the department, not you, but the department really faces, and could you expand on them?
Well, we talked about the project management operational challenge, and that's a massive operational challenge. From a purely operational standpoint, and I think you talk in terms of support, mission support and the like, we have an office within the Office of Management, Undersecretary for Management and Performance, that's called the Office of Environment, Health, Safety, and Security. We have 104 contractor employees. I would say probably somewhere between 30 and 40,000 of those employees are what the average American would think of as construction workers, okay, or workers in facilities, or someone who's working in a chemical plant or a processing plant, et cetera. And so, if you will, the workers' safety issues associated just simply from that, from an operational standpoint, I receive a daily report on it, what we call the incident report, which are literally safety and related incidents that happen across our operation. And it's not uncommon for that to include 4 to 7 different incidents. It could be a forklift tipped over. It could be, you know, some minor industrial accident or something like that. So literally from just when you talk about the complex and you understand what we do, those are some of the operational issues. If you think about it from a management standpoint and the sort of the federal side, I'll go back to this. I think our CIO runs and provides computer, you know, if you will, computer and information technology services for our entire complex. Cybersecurity is an enormous challenge. We get hit by hackers trying to break into our system hundreds, if not thousands of times a day. And from an operational standpoint, and remember what we have. This is the department that designs nuclear weapons. And so we have incredibly sensitive information that whether it's state actors or whether it's individuals, and we also have hackers that are after personal information in the same way, you know, that they go after big corporate accounts. We've all heard about, I'm not going to mention them here, but we all know the stores that have been hit by hackers and all the personal information. Hackers come in and they're after the same thing that they're after with regard to personal information in other places. So from an operational standpoint, if you understand the scale of what it is and, you know, appreciate what it takes to manage facilities and the landmass the size of the state of Delaware, it's really quite significant.
So attaining mission success requires a sustained commitment to performance-based management and expectation of excellence from headquarters to the field. What are you doing in your office to foster a culture of performance and accountability throughout the department? And what are some of the key success factors for building this kind of culture?
You know, from the standpoint of the workforce issues, there's a lot of talk now about safety culture. Mm-hmm. And in that respect, there's actually an entity called the Defense Nuclear Safety Board, DNFSB, which was created for the purpose of overseeing and looking at nuclear safety within the department. And so we actually have, if you will, a watchdog that looks at our facilities, that goes to our facilities and sites, that looks at things that happen and issues recommendations and specific recommendations. We work closely with the board and obviously where we can and implement those recommendations as best we can where we think they are appropriate. I think from the standpoint of a culture of excellence and go back and think about the scientific mission, et cetera, I think you have to recognize excellence. I think you have to reward excellence. I think we have awards and recognitions from the secretary's awards on down. But also from the standpoint of, if you will, performance, I think one of the challenges that you face in a management structure, and unfortunately I think it's kind of become a bigger challenge within government, is to try and really be serious about performance management. And one of the things that we've learned from our employee viewpoint survey is that the single greatest factor that discourages employees at the Department of Energy is when they feel that management is not holding a non-performer accountable. It actually drags down the whole in a very significant way. And then, you know, and there's the typical story where you go ahead and someone in management or a supervisor says, you know, I've had enough of it. I want to get rid of this employee. And you go back and you see 10 years of superior performance reviews. And it totally undercuts your ability to really go forward. Obviously, there's fairness and equity issues, and many of those may well have been earned or they may not have. But what do they say? You know, in Lake Well Be Gone, all the students are above average. And unfortunately, I think we kind of have had a culture within government, and I don't think it's just the Department of Energy, where I don't believe that performance reviews and performance accountability, not just at the senior SES level, but all the way down through the GS scale, I don't know that that's been taken with the seriousness that it should. And I think one of the things that I've hoped that we could do and I've encouraged people to do is to really be serious about the way in which they review employees and that they treat the employee performance systems that we have. And the systems are great. It's how they're implemented, I think, that they need to be treated with some seriousness. And the other aspect of this is employee feedback. And, you know, the system works if supervisors and managers basically communicate what they really think the performance is. I had an interesting experience. I had one of my managers, a senior SES who manages one of our programs. I did his performance review for the first time in December. And as part of that performance review, I scheduled a 30-minute meeting with him, and we sat down and talked about what I thought had been the strengths of what he'd done over the years, places I thought he could improve, strengths and weaknesses of the program, asked him, you know, said, hey, you know, what are you doing? You know, what do you want to do? Are you in the right place? What, you know, how's your, you know, what can we do to help your career, et cetera, and talked about that. And at the end of it, he said, you know, I've been in government 19 years, and this is the second time that any supervisor of mine has sat down and talked to me about my performance. And the other time, it was a 5-minute review. And the other 17 times, someone has handed me my performance review and says, sign this. It says that I've talked to you. I'm not saying that's representative, nor that circumstance where, you know, 2 out of 19 is the number of times it's happened. But I don't think it's unusual. And I think that we have to really work with, frankly, it's basic human resources, basic work, in which you work with your supervisors and you work with your managers and you encourage them to really be serious about performance reviews and performance management.
How is the U.S. Department of Energy changing the way it does mission support? We will ask David Klaus, Deputy Undersecretary for Management and Performance within the U.S. Department of Energy, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.